Maximus, the notary of Almachius, was chosen to accompany the martyrs to their place of execution. It was his duty to render an account to the prefect of the issue of this terrible drama. His orders were to release Valerian and Tiburtius if they sacrificed to the gods, or to record their execution if they persisted in the profession of Christianity. At the sight of these two patricians, walking so cheerfully to execution, and conversing together with tenderness and tranquil joy, Maximus could not restrain his tears, and turning towards them, he exclaimed, "O noble and brilliant flowers of the Roman youth! O brothers, united by such tender love! You persist in despising the gods, and at the very moment when you are to lose everything, you hasten to death as to a banquet." Tiburtius replied, "If we were not certain that the life which succeeds this will last forever, do you think we would be so joyful at this hour?" "And what is this other life?" asked Maximus. "As the body is clothed with garments," replied Tiburtius, "so is the soul clothed with the body. And as the body is stripped of its garments, so will the soul be divested of the body. The body, which is formed of the earth, will return to the earth. It will be reduced to dust, to rise again like the phoenix. As to the soul, if it be pure, it will be transported to the delights of paradise, there to await, in the enjoyment of the inebriating happiness, the resurrection of its body." This unexpected conversation made a deep impression upon Maximus. It was the first time he had heard anything contrary to those principles of materialism which were then so prevalent among the pagans. He was pleased with the new light revealed to him. "If I were certain of this future life of which you speak," said he, "I feel that, like you, I would despise this present life." Then Valerian, filled with the holy ardor which the Holy Ghost had communicated to him, thus addressed Maximus, "Since you only require proof of the truth we have announced to you, receive the promise I now make you. At the moment when it will please our Lord to grant us the grace to shed our blood for the confession of his name, he will deign to open your eyes and permit you to see the glory into which we shall enter. The only condition to this favor is that you repent of your past sins." "I accept," said Maximus, "and call down upon myself the thunderbolts of heaven, if from that moment I do not confess as the only true God him who reserves for us a life beyond the grave. Now therefore you have but to show me the vision which you have promised." By this reply Maximus offered himself to be enrolled among the militia of Jesus Christ. But the two brothers were unwilling to die before having seen him regenerated in the baptismal waters. They therefore said to him, "Persuade our executioners to conduct us to your house. They can guard us there, without losing sight of us for a moment. We ask but a day's delay. We will then send for him who will purify you, and this very night you shall see what we have promised you." Maximus did not hesitate to comply. The present life, with its fears and hopes, was already nothing in his eyes. He led the martyrs with their accompanying escort to his house, where Valerian and Tiburtius at once commenced to explain to him the Christian doctrine. The notary's family and the soldiers were present. Grace touched their hearts. They were convinced by the powerful words of the two apostles and declared themselves believers in Jesus Christ. Cecilia had been informed by Valerian of all that was passing. Her fervent prayers had doubtless contributed in obtaining so great an effusion of graces, but it was necessary to consummate the divine work in these men so rapidly converted to the faith of Jesus Christ. Cecilia prepared everything with prudent zeal. At nightfall, she entered the house of Maximus, accompanied by several priests. Human language cannot describe the sweetness of the interview which God in his goodness had prepared for the two spouses. In the presence of Cecilia, of her husband, and of her brother, amidst the hymns of thanksgiving to God, Maximus, with his family and the soldiers, solemnly professed the Christian faith, and the priests poured upon their heads the regenerating waters of baptism. The house of Almachius, notary, had become a temple, and those who dwelt in it during the few hours stolen from heaven seemed animated by one heart and one soul. The rising ushered in the day of the martyrdom of Valerian and Tiburtius, the 18th of the calendar of May. A solemn silence succeeded to the transports which faith had awakened in every heart. It was interrupted by Cecilia, who gave the signal for departure, quoting the words of St. Paul, "Arise, soldiers of Christ, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. You have fought a good fight. You have finished your course. You have kept the faith. For the rest, there is laid up for you a crown of justice, which the Lord, the just judge, will render to you and to all who love his coming." Animated by these words, the martyr band resumed its march. The two confessors were conducted by the new Christian, Maximus, and escorted by the soldiers whose brows were still moistened with baptismal dew. The martyrs finally arrived at the Pegasus, which, although called hospitable upon one of the inscriptions of Anna Regilia, had nothing to offer the Christians but the sword or apostasy. The priests of Jupiter were waiting with the incense. They commanded Tiburtius and Valerian to pay homage to the idol. The brothers refused, and throwing themselves upon their knees, offered their necks to the executioners. The Christian soldiers could not draw their swords upon the martyrs. Others, however, offered to supply their place, and the two noble youths received at once death and the crown of life. At this moment, heaven was opened to the eyes of Maximus, who gazed for an instant upon the happiness of the saints. The zealous faithful secured the bodies of these two heroes of the faith and brought them to Cecilia. She herself buried the dear and holy remains in the cemetery of Praetextatus near the second millstone. She anointed them with the richest perfumes, raised over them the triumphal stone, engraven with the palm and crown, symbols of their glorious victory, and she accompanied this pious duty with tears of mingled hope and sorrow. Not far from their tombs, she was soon to rest her heaven-crowned brow and twine her palm with that of her husband.